Dear Bhante, Venerable Sisters and Brothers, Dhamma Friends, we are going to start another session of question and answers, and we'll invite Alakon to read the questions to start the session, please.
Dearest Bhante, as this retreat comes to its end, I once again am faced with the truth that for me, while sitting so many hours and having the solitary goal of just being is much, much easier in this setting. In my lay life, it is not so. As I was doing my task assigned to me, a sister unexpectedly spoke my name and I was startled. This brought home the fact that when I am absorbed in my day-to-day life, I become extremely focused on only the direct task at hand and am completely unaware of all other things, such as the touch of my feet on the ground. By me getting startled upon hearing my name, does this indicate I am not mindful? I am not so much confused when it comes to my sittings, but when it comes to the practice in daily life, I am clueless. What are instructions for a layperson during their daily life? A Bhante once told me, a good start is to feel my clothing on my body, but once I go to work 9 to 5, I am sunk. Please help, as I am on a quest for liberation, total and complete, most graciously. P.S. If I will be unable to practice in this most difficult lay life, I may just have to move into your place in Sri Lanka.
So I have to find another place to escape. So anyway, that is the same thing happened to me also when I was in the university and in the postgraduates. I just wanted to put into practice, but the surroundings and everything was not so very conducive. So I was often sharing with Venerable Dhammika, he's from the Australian monk, and I was lucky enough to go and consult him as soon as whenever necessary. So his advice was to find one or two tasks per day and try to be mindful to start with. He recommend me the brushing teeth and toilets. Whenever you do it, it's usually you do alone. And when and where it is happening, he taught me it is called the ink drop system. Just like when you are using a fountain pen, when you first wipe your fountain pen with the blotting paper, you get the first ink drop. And more you use it, ultimately the blotting paper becomes slowly the color of the ink. Likewise, daily have some tags. He used the technical term tags. Brushing teeth is one tag, and going to the toilet is another tag. Likewise, slowly increasing. And to add to that, we can see SMS slowly, mindfully and silently. Out of that, I would like to emphasize the last one, the silently. The silently means whenever you are listening to your own sounds, naturally you become mindful. Naturally you become self-aware. Whatever the task you do, listen to your own sounds. When you are closing a door, when you are washing your dish, and whatever the thing you do, how much noise, sounds you are emitting, and naturally you become absorbed and you can learn how to do slowly, how to do mindfully. And silent here means your own sounds. This is with respect to your day-to-day activities, and that also don't try to rush. Let it catch the momentum gradually. And then increase the number of tags or number of drops per day, and when it is increasing, if you are a young person, yet another advice, don't let others know that you are meditating. Whenever you try to say others, you are asking trouble. Always you have to do, just like a commoner, you must practice without showing others, without letting not others, specifically those who are not concerned about the mindfulness. But whenever you come to the congregation of your Dhamma friends, co-practitioners, of course you have nothing to fear. But whenever you are in the day-to-day activities, don't try to show that you are a practitioner. But you must understand listening to oneself and to take few tags. And for the sitting and walking, Venerable Jnanarama, that our preceptor, he used to say, if you do it in a regular manner, you get added value. You must take it in a, whenever the time permits, if you have, when you already develop habit of sitting and walking within a day, do it in a regular way. This is the way you gather the momentum. And don't rush, go slowly, then only it will become quite natural.
Venerable Dhammajiva Thero, due to some health and medical issues, I have a hard time practicing meditation in lotus or half lotus posture. One, is it wrong moving or changing postures mindfully? Two, can you explain the postures we can use for our regular sitting meditation kindly?
You have to ask your body, that is what you call the body knowledge, sit in a way that you feel comfortable, symmetrical, relaxed. The posture is not the important one, but get your cooperation of your body. That means you must, your body must be your, best friend. Then you are true. Otherwise, if you are going to crucify yourself with the lotus posture and the half lotus posture, you are torturing. Now I can sit fairly on the lotus posture maybe 30-40 minutes, and after 30 years of practicing, at the beginning I have so much of desire to sit, but I can't maintain it. Soon I put into the lotus posture, I develop pain. So slowly, slowly when you are practicing, the posture can be secondary, nothing to worry. And as far as the sickness and the weaknesses are concerned, the Buddha says, if someone says, I have no any disease, he must be a fool. Everyone always have a disease. This body is a disease. Not only the diseased people, not only the elderly people, whatever it may be. So therefore, don't let the body to make excuses. Whatever the time permits, whatever the posture you find comfortable, take it and make the body your best friend. It is not a science, it's a kind of art. When you are learning, meditation will be a not so kind of a regimentation. Like a habit, you can slowly, slowly develop.
Venerable sir, while I was sitting and kept my mind on my in and out breath, I noted that my body was pulsating and head and trunk its own way. Then I felt my head and body were getting larger, swollen. But I kept on my in-out breath. Then I noted that I was feeling more on air, and in and out at nostril, then breath. So I noted that warmth of air out and cool air in. Then my exhale breath was soft and short, that it did not touch my upper lip. But I could feel strong on my nostrils that was warm and cozy and rather pleasant. I felt that my ears were getting filled up with warm air. But when I noted that even between my exhale and inhale, with a pause on in-breath, there were feeling of air around my face and to arms. While kept my breath of in and out touching on nostrils, I feel more with exhale than other times.
These are some early signs that mindfulness, you are learning mindfulness. When and where you apply to the particular object, you are bound to see the characteristics of the object. This is the way it is being reported, so this is a good sign. Please continue regularly. Then you are bound to see more and more the shapes and the manners and the natural characteristics. That you must take it as the criterion. More you get more natural characteristics, more you are mindful, quality and quantity wise. Good.
Dear Bhante, yesterday morning you talked about an energy which is not physical or mental, that sustained when someone is prepared for spiritual journey. Can you please expand more on that? How can someone be aware of that energy? Thank you for sharing your wisdom, Metta.
The Buddha, when he's explaining the virya as a mental factor, he says it's translated as energy, three facets: the launching energy, sustenance energy, and the fulfilling energy. So most demanding part is the launching type, to give up this sensuous desire and to go to a solitude place, or at least to get a physical solitude, is the launching energy. So once that is finished, or the once that is achieved, then you have to keep this solitude, keep this peace of mind with the sustenance energy. And then whenever you are finishing the task, the last type is the fulfillment energy. It is like a launching rocket and a sustaining rocket to keep the orbit, and the final rocket to go into the moon, like three stages. And so therefore energy itself is evolving as and when you practice meditation, as and when you progress along the line.
I'm sorry, I missed two papers of the last question I read. I will reread that later. I apologize for the person. I might be remembering that one. I'll reread. Dear Bhante, this is the first time for me to understand and able to see or experience the beginning, the middle and the end of my breath, and out in breath and out breath, and walking meditation. When I go back to my real busy life, how can I be delighted and disciplined, diligent and disciplined, to continue the practice of my mindfulness with clear comprehension? Please advise or any teaching for these problems. Deep gratitude and thank you.
So in the day-to-day life also, try to organize the day, allocate little time for sitting and walking, and rest of the time, when and where time permits, when and where you do tasks by yourself, regular tasks, daily chores, try to be mindful. And that is how you have to start somewhere. And whatever the time you allocate for the sitting and walking, at the beginning give 50-50. First walking and then sitting. And it must be regularized. And that is the way you just incorporate this mindfulness into your day-to-day life. At the beginning, don't try to regiment yourself, just do in a mild way, and when the time passes, the regularity is the secret. If you can maintain the regularity, definitely it is changing, progressing. If you are not keeping the regularity, then the cumulative effect is not quite positive. So therefore, try to do all the three, walking, sitting, and day to day, even in the little quantity, but do it in a regular way. If the situation is conducive, you can see the expansion at the beginning quantity, and later it will catch in quality also.
Dear Venerable Sir, I am humbly seeking your advice on several technique issues regarding walking meditation. One, do we have to come to a full stop before we making turns? Could you please share a few tips regarding how to maintain mindfulness while making turns? Two,
I will go one by one.
Right.
So it is like when you are taking a highway or freeway according to the American terminology and about to take exit. So you must understand before the sign you are going to take exit. That means your preparation of the mind. And while you are taking the exit, all the road signs and the traffic signs, traffic regulation you have to follow because you are going to take a by road. Likewise, when you are walking, when you are going to turn, it's a posture junction. At the junction, you must regulate your traffic regulations. So likewise, not necessarily complete stopping, but some junctions, of course, you have to stop. And if when you are entering into the highway, when you are entering into the main road, you have to stop and see the both the sides and see. Not necessarily. Therefore, it appropriate way, consider when you are driving, how to take the turn, how to take a by road. That is the way in the walking, the pacing up and down and turning posture.
Second part, I noticed some people walk pretty fast while doing walking meditation and some people walk really slowly. I tried both and it seems for me walking slowly makes it much easier to get concentration. Do you have any comments or advice regarding the walking speed?
So your mindfulness is the main thing is, and if it is making problem, don't look at others while they are walking.
And as a beginner, should I stick to a certain walking speed at this stage? How about after become more experienced during walking meditation?
Take the mindfulness as the criterion. Whatever the speed, whatever the distance you are looking, which is promoting mindfulness, that is what you have to follow.
Third part of the question, during walking meditation, is it better for us to coordinate our steps with our breath? I am not observing breath during walking meditation. It is just that, according to my limited experience, if I walk in the rhythm of my breath, it will be much easier for me to gain concentration. Thank you very much.
That is also not to promote, but it is naturally happening, harmonizing, no problem. But try to single fold it, just walking. And basically, it says to keep the attention in the lower part of your body. Don't pay attention up there and try to keep one thing at a time and that done well kind of thing. And naturally, breath come and harmonize, no problem. But it is something not to promote.
You mentioned appreciate when referring to clear comprehension. Is it piti? How do you say appreciation in Pali language? Thank you.
What is the asking question? Is it priti?
You mentioned appreciate when referring to clear comprehension. Is it piti?
Piti.
Yeah.
No, the piti may be a result of your clear, your appreciation. Appreciation in Pali sometimes called uh, I can't remember the exact translation. Whatever it may be, come into that situation and very understanding, very appreciation, very reconfirmation, very verification is the comprehension. So the verification may be the best English equivalent, but for the moment I would say it is not the PT. PT is secondary thing of that appreciation. So for the moment I can't remember the particular Pali term.
Dear Venerable Bhante, in yesterday's talk you mentioned many times about dissolution. What do you mean by this? Can you explain it in simple terms? What is the Pali term for it?
The Kayanupassana, Vayanupassana, Nirodhanupassana, Patnissaggaanupassana, there are four kinds of contemplation. The simple thing is just seeing the disappearance of the breath. In breath also have three facets. Beginning part, middle transitional part, and the disappearance. So this has been destruction or dissolution, and observing only that part specifically is called Khayanupassana, Vayanupassana, Nirodhanupassana, sometimes also called as Patnissaggaanupassana. So whenever phenomena when each and every phenomena is characterized by its beginning, the middle and the end. Here dissolution means the specialization towards the end.
Dear Venerable Bhante, after meditating for about 2 hours in sitting position, I come to a state where my body and mind are very peaceful, calm and happy. Though there are little pains in legs, it is bearable and I can stretch my legs or readjust my position without disturbing the primary object. I cannot find the point where the breath is touching, but I know I am breathing and I can stay sometimes looking at the entire breathing cycle. I feel like I have vitakka, vichara, priti, sukha and ekagata. Is this first jhana? How do I identify whether I have been fooled by vijnana or is this real? I read in a book by Venerable Matarasi Jnanarama that once you get the first jhana, one should identify and verify the five characteristics and well establish the jhana before going further. Can somebody go to first jhana or further without first jhana or further without knowing that?
Two ways you can tackle this question. The way Upandita Sayadaw presented the Vipassana Jhana, functionally the same, but you won't get absorbed into that. So therefore it is called Vipassana Jhana. They also have all the five characteristics. The other one is the Samatha Jhana, the first Rupa Jhana. When you go there, without any effort or without any applying thoughts or discursive thoughts, the mind glued into or magnetized into the object, naturally the repetitive application happen due to the momentum. So you start feel like relaxation, absorbed into that. If that is the case, that has the beginning, the middle and the end. The beginning is you feel like absorbing into your primary object. Your noting mind and noted object come close each other and hug each other like. Just like we walk all the way and come into, enter into this hall. So entrance. And then while you are inside, no distractions from the five hindrances. And after a while, your magnetic power reduces, the attachment reduces, and again you feel, now you go back to the normal other senses and hindrances start to come, and the object and the mind, the separation happen. So these things are very subtle things, mental. So therefore, while observing again and again, you have to see the beginning, the middle and the end. If it's very sharp, and the absorption is, the middle part is very prominent, that indicate kind of a samatha jhana, and you have to master so that you can enter into jhana as and when you wish. And you develop the mastery to get out of the jhana also as and when it is, when you demand it. Likewise, the mastery, there are five kinds available, but at the beginning, make sure, verify it only by repetitive application. Let it experience again and again, then you can understand which is the magic of the vijnana, or it's a something happening under your very nose. So therefore, best thing is to let that happen again and again, experience it again and again, then only you can master it. So I think still you have to little work along that, and the best thing is to continue with the master, and then only you can get the confirmation necessary possible. Otherwise it is very difficult for you as a beginner to get the verification. So best thing is to take time permanently, practice it and get the verification, get the mastery. So it is a full-time job, so to say.
Most Venerable Bhante, it is not clear to me that beginning, middle and end of the breath. It is not clear to me that beginning, middle and end of the breath. Please look at the picture and let me know which one is correct.
So usually it is drawn as a bell-shaped curve, and the bell middle is the middle area, and the two parts are tapering off. So these are the things unclear. So therefore, as far as you are associating the breath, you are on the way to understand the beginning, the middle and the end. Don't disturb your simplified understanding by too much of scrutiny, then your simple concentration, alignment will get disturbed. So therefore, first you have to develop the quantity. Once you gain certain amount of experience only, you can do analysis. So this may be a good presentation. And when you are practicing further and further, that is to say, you keep the breath in face-to-face with mindfulness, you are bound to see it and see whatever the sharpness, the beginning and the end, is very mystic. Only the middle area, gross area, is the possible or tangible. With respect to that only, you see the beginning and the end.
Dear Venerable Sir, I am writing this note to express my heartfelt gratitude for all the knowledge and the wisdom you passed on to me. Your unique way of penetrating into the Dhamma and interpreting it in your way is truly remarkable. You are a one of a kind. However, I wish to state something that should be expressed. Please note that this is my opinion and it may not be even true. People absorb Dhamma according to their capacity and their own ability in grasping. Nana pamaning ekineka mema dharme avabodha karagani. This is stated in the Dhamma itself. Sometimes the way you answer questions carries a hint of sarcasm. Maybe you get a little irritated by some of the questions, but it can hurt one's feelings. Can you be a little more sensitive?
I had my best. Very difficult.
I
feel like a boxer. I feel like kicking. If I hitting you, I am waiting to give a knockout.
I also want to mention that Dhamma instructions you gave are beyond appreciation. I am determined to follow Dhamma meditation and concepts diligently in the continuation of my Dhamma journey. Thank you, Master, with deep appreciation and wishing you a healthy long life, more and more wisdom, accumulation and peace. One of your devotees.
So that after long affair only we can make something. Not with the first, the second question, always misunderstanding. It's good for my health. And after long time, if we have the same parallel kind of attitude, then the journey starts. So therefore, it's beyond our control. This way, it is something coming out of me. I can't claim this is me, this is mine, this is...
Dear Bhante, you commented on sense objects as the second object which should not be entertained in detail. You also talked about pain as the second object which should be observed in detail with its shapes and manners. What second object or when should I observe in detail?
So whatever the... So simply put it this way, once you select the primary object, let that mindfulness... Let your meditation led by the primary object. So, simple statement is, as far as you are mindful in your primary object, you are progressing. So, it's the one rule of thumb. But the secondary object appears. Whenever secondary object is going to overwhelm you, as you are nothing you have to do because your primary object is gone, so therefore take that one to keep the mindfulness intact, maybe pain, maybe a sound, maybe a thought, whatever may be, as far as it is overwhelmed with the primary object, you take it and you see the natural characteristics. But you must not, for example, whenever you have side by side, the primary object is here and certain other objects, for example, while walking, the breath is come into being. Or while you are observing in-breath and out-breath, rising and falling can happen. While you are observing, there may be some other sensation of the body can happen. So under such circumstances, you must always give the priority to the primary object. And then, as far as you are developing the primary object, invariably you are understanding and penetrating secondary object, whether you like it or not. So therefore, pain, I take it as an example, if it is coming and overwhelming your primary object, instead of hating it, see its natural characteristics because it is a gate crasher. Come and chase away the primary object and that is the only thing available. Under such circumstances, you are not promoting it, but as far as it is coming and throbbing, you take the mean advantage and go into detail.
Dear Venerable Sir, I am here to report something. Something happened during my walking meditation. Since my first walking meditation here in this retreat and also in my lifetime, I have been seeing ancient characters all over the carpet in this hall. At first, I thought maybe this carpet is specially made. After close examination, I knew I was wrong and there is nothing special about this carpet. Then I thought it might just be my imagination. However, I saw these characters again and again. Each time I walked here in the hall on the carpet, I can't see them on the wooden floor. But I did see them while doing walking meditation outside on the cement road. I use these characters as a road sign indicating that I have gained concentration. However, they can be quite a distraction sometimes since they present all the time and I could not help trying to read them. I could not recognize what characters they are. They appear to me like ancient Asian characters. Do you have comments or advice? I remember you once mentioned that if a phenomena presents itself very often, it could mean something. Will these be a sign, ancient characters? Will these ancient characters be a sign? Thank you.
Maybe very difficult to predict it because we have our own memory characters, memory capacity. It may be. But the thing is, whether it is conducive for your mindfulness or not, is the matter we are worried about. And at a given time, not only through the ear, eye, door, the ear, nose, tongue, everywhere, so much of objects are coming. And each and everyone asking cognition and the recognition. Whenever it is happening for the first time, we cognize it. And if it is important, we keep in our memory, and second time when it happens, it recognizes. This cognition and recognition is utterly natural character, natural selection. So if you select in a proper way, you are the winner. If you do not select, it's gone forever. So likewise, each and every time is very precious. Whatever the sign you are making out of it, you relate it to the past, future and the present, and your likings and disliking, it's a completely volatile situation. What you pick decides your next moment. So there's the Michael Gladway, he has written one book on the blink, the how you pick things, and something like when the Sir Isaac Newton was sitting under the apple tree, the apple fallen upon the head, and what did he pick? He picked the gravity. But if you sit an apple fall on your head, maybe something different. That's the way natural selection. And he says, I am telling, if you keep the computer open, and let the monkey to jump up on the keyboard, how many signs and signals can happen? Can there be any chance at a time, while the monkey is jumping, E is equal to MC square can appear in the computer? So if you pick it, he becomes Einstein. If you do not pick it, no use. So such a luck by chance it is happening. So how can we say we have an agenda? Not a single one. So everything is volatile. So when you are mindful only, you tend to understand it. Otherwise, you are depending upon your recognized signals, signs. Akheya sanjino sattha, akheyasmin patitthita, akheyasmin aprinyatam, Maradeyanti Machuno. We are depending upon our whole knowledge on the cognized symbols. That's what the computer science is. That's what the writing means. That's the mathematics. That is the drawings. So, but they are second hand. So we go to the liberation through this recognized science. So let it happen. So it is always happening, only when you are mindful you can see we are working with so much of data. Which one we select decides my desire, my conceit and my egotistic idea. So let that happen, but don't take a stand. What I have selected is good, what I have selected is bad, what I have selected is for your well-being or not. Completely open. Observe it. More and more you observe, you feel how vulnerable we are, how unpredictable things are. So it is not a question, it is a feasibility study. You are accumulating so much of data. More and more you accumulate this kind of data, you see, you would question your own decision already you have taken. Not a single decision is done with enough background data. We have taken them halfway. That's why they are not lasting. So instead, suspended decision, have evenly suspended attention to what is happening, then you are living in and there, always vigilant in the present moment. So it's a very good sign. Don't arrive at a decision. Just continue to observe it as they are volatile.
Dear Venerable Bhante, I have had the following experience. I was in a very relaxed state of mind, hypnotized. There is loving, joy-filled light everywhere. In the distance, I see a bridge and fog. I cross the bridge, and when I reach the other side, I am in a forest in Switzerland. I look at my hands and know I am a woman. My feet are barefoot. I feel this is the distant past. I live a simple life in a thatched cottage in the forest with a loving husband and no children. I die alone and then again I am in the light-filled space of love and joy. I see the bridge and fog again. I cross the bridge again. This time, when the fog clears, I look at my hands. A bit confused, I am a man, a farmer somewhere in Iowa. I have a wife and two daughters. I also have a servant that helps me with the farm chores. As a result of my negligence, there is an accident and my servant dies instantly. I also am injured. Then I see my deathbed. I die from my injuries. My wife and daughters are at my side. Right before my last breath, I was so remorseful for them, for the mistake that caused my servant's death. I did not want to die and leave my wife and daughters, but I thought to myself that I deserve to die for my mistake. I am then again in the light filled place. This time I quickly cross the bridge, and on the other side I see a very confused for some time. I don't appear to be human. After some time I realize I am a bird. I fly and feel the sun and rain and sit in the trees. All I think of is fly, land, sing, fly some more. Then everything begins to spin most violently. I feel nauseous. I am spinning and feel falling. I feel make the spinning stop. I then awake from the experience, my heart racing. Bhante, in my for real childhood, I was always climbing things, trees, cabinets, etc. I also very much believed I could fly up to the age of 12. I would jump from my window to practice flying. I would flap my arms and truly believed I could slow my descent. I believed that if only I kept practicing, I would fly for real. I climbed so much that my father built me a tree house to climb to. He figured this way and I would be safer than sitting on a limb. Then one day I jumped from the tree house some 20-30 feet. I felt I had the most wonderful descent, and that flapping my arms indeed had slowed the fall. That night, however, I woke and could not move. I had a compression fracture from my jump, and an ambulance had to take me to the hospital. I had to wear a neck brace for 2 months. I was, even to this day, have dreams of flying. I'm not sure I even know what to ask, but I wanted to share this with you for any insight you may have as to what I experienced. Thank you, Bhante, for the teachings you have shared with us. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
So that's nothing related to the mindfulness. What I can say is, they're explaining all the kind of things, they appear like very colorful. But the Buddha says, mind is more colorful than anything mind can make. So therefore, by looking at the make, you have to understand how colorful the mind is. Chittang eva chittatara. These things are very dramatic and colorful. And this is all mind made. And mind is more colorful, so therefore the day you understand the mind, you see the beauteous thing, most beautiful thing, rather than the mind-made things. So therefore take this as a sign and see how much a magician, it can make anything. I am not going to say it is true or not, but be mindful about the mind.
Dear Bhante, I have a repeating phenomena during walking meditation on retreats. As I focus on the soles of my feet, my mindfulness becomes much increased, but my vision becomes blurry. If I squeeze my eyes shut or shake this off, so to speak, it goes away, and my vision returns to normal. But as I continue with my Walking meditation, it becomes blurry again. People and objects become just blotches of color. My intuition tells me this makes me focus easier, taking away the eye faculty. But my human mind wonders if it is not some form of cheating. Has my sneaky ninja mind eliminated the most distracting sense, the eyesight, to make the meditation easier? Should I make conscious effort to stop this phenomena from recurring, or should I continue to ride the wave and be grateful for the help? Please advise most graciously.
So you have to understand this blurred observation, the vision, helpful for you to keep the mind in the left and the right leg, or does that disturb yourself for your mindfulness in the left and the right leg? If it is not disturbing you, let that happen. Keep the track with the left leg and the right leg. And I can predict when and where you focus in the in-breath, the left and the right leg, every other faculties will blur. They will become blotched or blur. So therefore, that is a good sign. More you focus here, the bleaching nature, dissolving nature, or attractiveness is disappearing. It's a good sign, but our rational mind is making doubts, uncertainty, or fussy, foreseeing something dangerous like. But anyway, appear like it is something, nothing to concern about the fearfulness. Make sure whether it is helpful or whether there's any relevance to your mindfulness in the left and the right leg. If it is not disturbing, take care about the mindfulness on your walking, and then let that be by itself. Don't pay attention for that.
Dear Bhante, in your response to my experience that I shared in the other day, you suggested that I should practice mindfulness meditation rather than concentration meditation. I understand how important the mindful training can be for attaining liberation, but it seems a little odd and led me to this question. According to the Noble Eightfold Path, the right mindfulness is the seventh factor and the right concentration is the eighth factor and the last factor in the path. Don't we have to develop concentration at some point in our practice so that we can overcome the five hindrances and gain in jhana, entering fire material realm? What is that? Fire material realm from our material. Entering fire, fine material. Yeah. Entering fine material realm from our material realm. Then, when and how do we train the right concentration? I know there is some degree of concentration taking place in order to be mindful, but I don't think these are the same concentration, at least not in the same degree. Thank you again, with metta.
So that relationship indicates the mindfulness is the proximate factor, conducive factor for the concentration to happen. And as far as you are fertilizing, as far as you are feeding mindfulness, it will lead into the concentration. Your responsibility is to keep the mindfulness intact, and the concentration is an outcome. Instead, if you're going to take the concentration first and foremost, there may be a negligence toward the mindfulness. So therefore, first thing first. And not only there, a number in the five faculties, when you say Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, Panya. Sati, and then it is leading to Samadhi. Five powers also the same. So Bhujanga also start with mindfulness. So therefore, concentration may come. You have a very welcoming idea, but your duty, your fulfillment must be towards the mindfulness, and then the situation becomes very simplified. And if it's, you have a natural tendency towards the concentration, mindfulness is naturally lead, rather than your monitoring or your appreciation. So therefore, I also agree the way you have presented. So therefore, once the mindfulness come up to the proper degree, it will take care about the concentration.
Venerable Dhamma Jiva Thero, meditation become very popular treatment method for some cancer patients these days. There are so many researchers and literature on this topic around the world. There are so many late-stage cancer patients who were refused by the Western treatment programs, recovered well with the help of regular meditation. 1. What is your thoughts and advice on this? 2. What is the best meditation method for cancer patients? Please advise kindly with metta.
In Australia, there's Ian Gola Foundation. He published the book, You Can Conquer Cancer, maybe about 30 years back. And later it translated into Sinhala also. But it's not directly talking about the mindfulness as such. But he says the confidence. And if you have the confidence, you can fight the cancer. If you lost the confidence, the cancer cells will grow and encroach everything. So therefore, so far I had no chance to visit the place, but he was a veterinarian and he cut his leg due to the cancer, it is spreading. But he gave up all the allopathic medicine and started this spiritual part, and later he gained the health and started the Ian Gola Foundation. At that time, the meditation retreats and the experiments on the neuroplasticity are not much popular. They were very early books. Now it has been much popular. It depends on your confidence, how much you have the immunity. So much so, doctors find it easy to treat, but if you have lost your mind, if you have lost your faith, then whatever the treatment gives, it is not working properly. So therefore, it depends on the immunity, how much you have the self-confidence. And more you have the self-confidence, not only the cancer, they found a lot of other diseases. So therefore, don't wait. I'm repeating, don't wait till cancer happens. Then it is too late. Think each and every one of us is a cancer candidate. And be mindful. And when I was in Melbourne, we had a panel discussion, and Venerable Mahinda was there. And he was very nicely, he mentioned, whenever your family doctor mentioned that there is a fast-growing malignant tumor in your brain, then only you go to meditation centers, then only you think about the holistic food, then only you think about the yoga exercises and everything, till that you never think about. So he says, better to give a cancer to each and everyone, then this whole will not be enough. Everyone will come and meditate. So therefore it is happy the cancer patients are sharing with others. So, and all the experts, they say, each and every person is having enough cancer cells. If you have confidence, you can suppress them and you can send it through your metabolic action. If your immunity is not enough, cancer cells are growing, you become a cancer patient. Be concentrated. So, therefore, if you wish to fight with the day-to-day cancer cells dose, be on the ball, be mindful. And then it will be taken care by the normal metabolic action.
Dear Venerable Bhante, how can mindfulness be already there at all times if it is not included in the 5 universal mental factors?
Now you better read that King Mulaka Sutta and Samiddhi Sutta. The Buddha is mentioning Sabbhi Dhamma. I can't remember the Mulaka, Sabbe Dhamma, then Satadipateya Sabbe Dhamma. Each and every thought moment, the mindfulness is there, whether it's running a prominent role or not. When it is not running a prominent role, and if you are not appreciating it, you complain yourself is unmindful. But mindfulness is an endowment or birthright for each and everyone. So therefore, when and where you keep it in the chairperson, in the priority, then your life is organized. When and where you don't give the due respect for the mindfulness, if you are chasing behind other colorful mind concomitants, mental concomitants, then the problem. So therefore, the Buddha is talking out of his omniscient knowledge, and even the Theravada commentators, they are not ready to accept it. But luckily, when Jnanananda, when he is in the series of Dhamma talk, he took it out and told, these are the suttas where the mindfulness is intact. Mindfulness is in the package. Or you, it's a matter of your recognition.
Dear Venerable Sir, I am of Sri Lankan origin. Sinhala is my mother tongue. I also have confidence in the Buddha Dhamma Sangha. As followers of the Buddha, one of the most compassionate sentient beings that ever lived on earth, we do not practice loving kindness, sila, samadhi, pajna, practice or encourage violence in any form. I love all sentient beings, but not ashamed of my origin or faith. However, if false or defamatory allegations are made against the Buddha, Dhamma or Sangha, I feel one should peacefully and non-violently speak up and set the record straight, as they say. Our silence can be taken as agreement with such allegations, and justice will not be served. Mindfulness is an essential part of our Dhamma. However, I believe non-violence and corrective action should be taken against false and defamatory statements made against the Triple Gem. Please advise of this, if this is okay, with metta.
No, I think it is not my business to advise this kind of thing. My thing is to see how much we can take the flag of mindfulness and carry on. So therefore, these things are general ideas and kind of thing. By commenting, I am get committed. Not necessary. So therefore, you can have your idea, no problem. But I would say, anything you keep other than mindfulness lead into confusion. Anyway, you keep the mindfulness in front of forefront, you find the least frictional path. In the comfort zone. So that is the simple thing I am ready to share with you all.
Venerable Sir, Bhante, please, past 2 days' experience was very different. I was keeping my awareness on breath, especially on the in-breath, because of your advice to see the beginning of the breath. I must have followed 3 to 4 breaths right away. The stillness, emptiness, or the peacefulness came to be aware of. There was no feeling of me or a physical being there, just as the awareness. Do not know how long was there. Then something happened. I can give the example of touchdown of an airplane, but not smooth, bit rough, hit on the nostrils. Breath, my breath, I am not dead. Kind of a feelings came. Breath was little faster than usual with this thinking. This happened just after the contact. Then all the other thoughts started to come. My in-breath is long, colder, etc. Where was I? What happened to consciousness? Was it a journey from consciousness to unconsciousness and back to consciousness? Theruvan Saranai. Bhante, first part of the report was written before the morning talk. Thank you so much for all the explanation. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
So it is nothing to answer. You read the second 2 pages. Read the second 2 pages.
I thought I just sat down, started meditating, but the bell rang. I kept this feeling another 10 to 15 minutes while doing walking meditation. I noted that the room was cooler than usual, but I was in a blanket of warm and soft air. Usually for the night sitting meditation, my goal is to improving sitting tolerance and not to fall asleep. But last night, I sat through for one hour, I felt like 5 minutes. I had no ache and pains, and after 1 hour sitting, I had more energy. But the next sitting meditation, I tried again, it did not happen. I did the same way, but nothing. I will keep my mind in the breath, whether anything happened or not. Thanking you for your teaching, sir.
So that is that the nature of the meditation, sitting can be changing from one to the other. Occasionally there are very encouraging sittings or walkings, and again, if you like it or not, it disappears. So keep in regularity, whether it is liking or disliking, then only you can get the long wave kind of experience rather than measuring single sittings and the single walking. That's the benefit we get by participating in this residential retreat for a long time. So therefore, mind is always judgmental. This is good, this is bad, this is expected, this is unexpected. So these things you have to see against the long picture, not against one by one. So it's a very good effort taken. Please continue the same. Okay, we have already taken almost 1 hour. So we have about 55 minutes for the walking meditation. And we'll meet here again at 4 o'clock with that announcement. We are going to mark the end of the question and answer session. Thank you very much for the participation. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.